Welcome back to DTM. Today's day three. If you've made it this far this month, you've had some time to think about repeating patterns and how they affect your circumstances right now. And hopefully you've had some thoughts about why you keep losing yourself and what is most important to you for growth, and how making the same decisions in your emotions regarding rejection has probably not served you well. I hope that through the last 2 days, you decided to take at least one negative emotion pattern and leave it behind and take your next moment of resistance on your journey and think twice about what you could learn in discomfort as you will and push yourself through to the next level. Today, we address the attraction point. Honestly, I feel like some of you have been approaching your energy and frequency from an external place, and something is missing when it comes to what you understand about your energy. And I want to make an effort to address some of that today. This topic is just going to scratch the surface. It is not going to take you as deep as I'd like to go, but I really want to help you to better understand that all energy is not created equal. But before we dig in, I want you to think about what you want and what you want to attract. Perhaps you have a vision board for March. I hope that you do for those that did do the vision board with me earlier this year. You should have a March board if you stayed consistent with your monthly vision boards rather than a typical yearly situation. Okay, so let's get started. I can't save you from yourself, and Sage will not protect you from all forms of negative energy. When it comes to Palo Santo, Sage, crystals, altars, tarot cards, runes, cowrie, any other method of working with energy, you have to understand that none of those things work alone. Many of you believe that Sage or some other external energy clearing tool will save you from everything that's harmful, and it simply won't. So many things that have been adopted as a part of New Age spirituality are aspects that have been taken from ancient modalities that were used in ceremonial ways. The power of the tool utilized in a ceremony is 100% about the belief in your connection to that specific spiritual modality. When you have no connection to that modality or a specific spiritual modality, and you're not performing a ceremony, then your tool doesn't have as much power as you think it does. It may make you feel better to sage your new place. You may even feel like the air is more clear, but if you still have negative energy within you, you will always attract negative energy to you, whether that is negative energetic beings, negative people, negative opportunities, just negative circumstances in general. Spirituality and working with energy has to go beyond fascination. Fascination does not lead to more soulfulness, but it creates a beeline directly back to ego. This is why I've always said that curiosity is not the way of spirituality. With spirit, we must be seeking our true nature and not mimic what we see others doing when we have no understanding of who they are in spirit or how many lives they have worked with a specific modality. Spirit shared in the message on rejection a couple episodes back that our inner wisdom carries over and directly relates to our spiritual practice. And so that directly impacts energy and how we work with energy. Fascination in spiritual work is dangerous when you're working with things that you don't know a lot about. It can seem basic. It can seem very harmless to you until you have attracted all the wrong things to your circumstances. The thing is, whether you believe it or not, everything that you can imagine is real. Everything that you could possibly imagine. And mixing modalities is always a no-no, especially as a novice. So why am I telling you all of this? Because a lot of you believe that you can do anything. That achieving the emotional environment 10 of freedom and alignment feels like somehow you won the spiritual lottery. And now because you cracked the code, everything is on your terms. And that's not true. For every level that you advance, something more is required of you. But what I hear many of you saying in your own words is that you believe that to be my personal experience and not the experience of all that have walked this spiritual path. Notice that I'm saying spiritual and not metaphysical, because the spiritual path is very much so different than one that is more physical or one that is more connected to the modern expression of spirituality. I could say a lot about the mindset of believing that this is a personal experience and not those that have a like spiritual life theme. But what I want you to gain from this, no matter what expression of spirituality you manifest, is that if you are genuinely, truly, and absolutely focused on spirit, it will indeed require a lot from you. And there must never be a question about what you are seeking when you are knee deep in your spiritual journey. But I want to get back to the sage for just a moment, because I want to make this more personal. I want to share a story with you about one of my first major clients, and we're just going to call her Deborah. And Deborah is a visionary. I'm sure many people that know her know of her, and she's very well known where she lives, is that she is a visionary, someone that is calling the shots and someone that is very savvy in business and entrepreneurship. And she has had some major successes in her life. And it's not because she's particularly brilliant or that she's a good person, but it's simply because that she is not afraid to ask for what she wants. She came to guidance, honestly, because she's the type of person that loves having people do stuff for her. She has a person for everything. She once told me, I believe in the very first call, that her mother had a person like me around. Her mother always had a person like me around. And I'll leave that up to your own interpretation. But Deborah has multiple businesses, and one of them was not performing well at the time that we met. It's still not. I told her that it wouldn't. It would never do any better than what it's doing, is what I told her. And I told her that the reason for that is because there was a negative energy attached to that specific business. And I began to describe it to her. I let her know that it was always cold in there, that the energy connected to that business is greedy. So I imagine that she wasn't able to keep her cash flow up. And at that moment, she totally cut me off and says, yes, it's always losing money. And then she rattled off all the external reasons why she couldn't turn it around and make more of a profit there. And I told her that it wasn't because of those external things. The source of the problem was that there was an energy connected there. And until you remove that energy, it will remain as it is, and it has. And she paused and she contemplated taking it in for just a moment, but she wouldn't. And she said, oh, well, Tanisha, I'll just sage it. And the thing is, her problem was a lot more extensive than that. Sage would have helped Deborah even if she was the most positive person in the world. It wouldn't have helped her if she had all the sage in the world, because there was something that had energetically staked a claim on that land where her business is sitting. And in fact, it was Deborah that was attracted to that place because of her own negative energy. Anyone positive or more neutral could have never felt comfortable in that place. I bet there are many patrons that may come in seeking out that place, but eventually move on, don't come in, or don't feel very comfortable there because it is just a very negative place. And had Deborah been willing to listen to the possibility that there was more to the energy than she understood, she might have gotten a real solution and understood more about herself and more about spirituality in the time that we discussed it. So let's use this opportunity to learn from Deborah, and let's analyze the situation, and hopefully this will help you understand a bit more about energy. So first question is, where did Deborah go wrong with trying to fix the energy within her business? I want you to take a moment and pause the episode to answer where you think Deborah went wrong so that you can gauge your own understanding of today's topic before I share more. So go ahead, pause the episode. Where did Deborah go wrong with trying to fix the energy in her business? All right, You're back. So hopefully you have answered the question. And first I'll say that Deborah had no beliefs. Let's just be clear about that. Deborah did not and does not have any true spiritual beliefs, nor was she receptive to divine guidance. Believing in spirituality is not just about believing in synchronicities. It's not just about believing in angels or the universe when it is convenient for you. And convenience is not just when you're in trouble. There are a lot of folks that attribute a higher presence and generic gratitude when things are happening, but they do not believe and have no foundational spiritual beliefs that represent how they move in the world. When you're not connected to a concrete belief system, you are only open to what makes sense to you, and that is through the lens of your ego. In Deborah's world, negative energetic beings were something beyond her level of comprehension. So instead of trying to understand it, she found a way to humanize the situation, and she treated the problem as if it was beneath her. And because of that, the fix would be relatively simple enough, but that was not accurate, right? The second thing is Deborah had weak rituals, right? The sage was a very weak ritual. And it's because when you don't have foundational beliefs, any practice that you attempt is going to be weak because there's nothing to power it. So did you get that down? Did you write down on your own no beliefs and weak rituals? Because those are the first two things that she did that didn't help her move through the problem. The sage approach was never going to work without anything to drive the sage to further it along. She took the only thing that she had in her wheelhouse to deal with how she connected with the problem. So I imagine that if, say, a roach had crawled through her space and the only thing she had available was a can of Raid, she would have used that. That would have been a more direct approach. But that doesn't mean that she was attacking the root cause of the issue, right? Where there's one bug or pest, there's sure to be another one. And so spraying that one spot was not going to completely eliminate the problem that she had, right? So when working with anything that is uncomfortable energetically or that is intrusive energetically, you're best off seeking the source of the issue, primarily dealing with any, you know, negative manifestation, right? So just because it makes you feel better to have a sense of control over something does not mean that you're actually controlling it or moving the situation in a more positive direction. You know, think about a circumstance where you've ever tried to make something better, but it got progressively worse. How could you have released control and asked for help from someone more equipped to solve the problem? In the end, Deborah continued to have more and more of the same issues with her business until it got progressively worse, right? So all forms of negative energy are not created equal, and neither is positive energy. There are many different forms of energetic beings. So think about the Akashic records for a second. The masters, teachers, and loved ones are all different from each other. More than that, they are not the only guides that we have. They are also angels, as I mentioned earlier. They're saints. There are actual spirit guides, and each one has a different access point, and they come to us for very different reasons. Some of our guides are lesson specific, and some stay a lifetime. And there are many different forms of negative energy. Some of it is a lot more harmful than others. Some of it just exists and does not harm you. Some of it is really detrimental. And it's not just a matter of calling someone that you don't like an energy vampire. All forms of negative energy are complicated, and they're complicated to get rid of. And it's never going to be simply a matter of you asking it to go away, burning sage, or wearing and displaying crystals around your neck, right? And this brings me to the next thing that Deborah miscalculated. She used the wrong tools. Just because you think something is wrong energetically does not mean you have the power to get rid of it yourself. To eliminate a manifestation of negative energy, you must know what you believe so you can utilize the proper method of elimination or ritual and use the right tools. But here's the thing. All of that is jumping ahead of why we have an issue with negative energy or need to get rid of it. The real problem here is the attraction point. If you're moving along your spiritual journey for the right reasons, your attraction point is naturally going to change. Everything in your life that does not align with the frequency that you're striving for is going to annoy you, right? So negative energy, negative energetic beings aside, what you really want to focus on right now is your internal frequency and how that is affecting your external circumstances and what is attracted to you and what you are attracting because of it, right? There will be friends that you reach for less and less, and connections and opportunities that are negative that you'll move away from as you stay more connected and aligned with your higher consciousness, right? You might desire to stay connected to someone that you know is negative, to spare their feelings so that you can check on them. But that toxic trait that you've always, detested, disliked about them is going to get to a point where that's all that you see in them as you continue to go higher. And it won't be easy to stick around energetically, and especially to be in the same room with that person. The physical experience of being with them will be a lot more challenging than a relationship from afar, right? And this can happen to you as well. Like nowadays, people often ghost people when they tire of their negativity. And a lot of people will feel, a lot of people feel like it's more compassionate to have a conversation with someone that's been in your life for a significant amount of time. But when you lose attraction to something energetically, it makes it more difficult for a person or a thing to enter your mental space. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like when you are really focused on spirit and really focused on elevating your consciousness and really focused on your own spiritual growth, it's going to be a lot harder to even remember that negative thing, even if it's someone that you care about. But also when those that are focused on higher connection are truly seeking, they are often asking for all the negative influences and forces to be removed. You know, they're often, affirming that they only are connected to positive energy. They're affirming and trying to create opportunities for more positive to come into their experience through spiritual practice. So we have to be mindful that, energy is really powerful, and working with energy can really be a powerful thing. But we need to stay on our level, number one, and we need to work with the energy that matters most, and that is our own personal energy. What's your natural attraction point? That's a very important question. We all have a natural attraction point, and the attraction point that you come into this life with is important to understand. But you can only know this through spirit, through guidance, and a lot of self-examination. Seeking to understand your true attraction point and how it came to be the frequency that it actually is naturally is an integral part of the journey. But also, when it comes to energy in general, we can do the most to affect our personal energy by working on the condition of our heart, our soul. Now, last month, we left off at day 5 talking about the condition of our heart, but we really didn't expand on it. And I want to do a little bit of that today, because it really doesn't matter what you're doing externally in if the state of your soul remains negative. All the things that many of you complain about in regards to the difficulty in the spiritual journey are the things that increase your natural attraction point and increase your ability to connect soulfully. I've met many along the path that are so ready and willing to communicate with spirit tangibly, but for as many realms that exist, to increase our connection, our knowledge, there's a key.
There's a requirement that must be met to pass through. And as you connect with your beliefs and you remember spirit in your daily practice, in your daily interactions, as you express gratitude and so many other things, it helps you to shed your ego. As you become more humble and less attached to the physical world, either your attraction increases or you begin to realize the actual fracture in your personal energy. How do you know there is a fracture in your energy? There's so many signs and a lot of messages that you can probably reference right now. Everyone listening can improve their energy by focusing more deeply on the journey and the realizations and the knowledge we come to know as we continue to move through time as a being. We have to learn to accept things as they are and not how we view them based on the state of our soul and based on our personal experiences and however that lens may have become blurry. We repeat our mistakes by allowing our ego to drive us off a cliff. And when your soul is covered with lower energies like pride and greed and ego and envy, insecurity, you can't possibly stay aligned with spirit and all the possibilities in that connection. So whatever you believe to be true about your circumstances, there is more that you have yet to learn. Whatever you believe to be true about incarnation, there is more that exists and you'll even have time to read about. Whatever you believe to be true about spirit, seeking is the only pathway to discovering more in this lifetime or the next. So remember, everything that you could possibly imagine is true. It's only a matter of being guided in how all of the pieces fit together. And as we try to control everything and we think that there are simple fixes for this and simple fixes for that, what we really need to do is fix the condition of our own souls. And we do that by showing up soulfully. We do that by showing up faithfully. We do that by showing up more positively, because your energy is more powerful than you can ever know. What you do, what you're doing right now is affecting everything that is connected to you. Every single thing that is connected to you. And wouldn't you want that to be affected in a positive way, right? So our energy is so much more powerful than we know, but it is your heart, the condition of your heart, that will help you to align spiritually. So which do you prefer? Do you want to be aligned in ego or aligned soulfully in the presence of spirit? Thank you so much for tapping in for a dose of clarity today. This episode is indeed incomplete. Man, I wish that there were more things that we could explore in this particular episode. I think there will be a time and a place in that, because there is much more that I want to dig into, especially if you are very intuitive, empathic. So much more to be explored here would make for a great live group session. I want you to understand that energy is complicated and deep, but if you focus on yourself, you can continue to seek more about spirit and you will always have a pathway to the light. The ego is only in control if you allow it to be. So open yourself up to truly listening when you have spirit's full attention, like in a session, and move forward with clarity. Next up, we have day 4 on clear agreements. Until then, seek clarity, clarity, clarity. See you guys.